Come, Holy Spirit, make your presence known to us and enter our hearts. Move among us and open our ears and have us hear your word today. And use me as you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our scripture today comes from Isaiah. It's chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. So let's hear the word of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew in the air. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots of the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last week, you all know we celebrated Pentecost. That's why we're still red today. We usually, I think we're only supposed to have it up one day, but we celebrated Pentecost and we're still celebrating because the Holy Spirit was a gift to us then. And it's always here for us. And now the church calendar begins in Advent. And Advent through Pentecost, we celebrate and we talk about the story of Jesus. But after Pentecost, the story turns. And we begin to talk about us, the believers of Christ. And so it's fitting that today we talk about, they call it the Trinity Sunday, we talk about the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus, all three together. And we begin, we try to figure out God, and we can't figure out God. We try to grab hold of all that we can today, and we realize that we can't stand much of God because God is too enormous for all of us to understand. So we're doing our best to try to understand what it is and how God is, knowing that we are who we are because of who God is. And we just try to imagine. We try to imagine God, but we fail. And we have scripture from Isaiah today that can help us. It helps us a little bit to understand God. So let me set the scene for us just a little bit. He talks about how this encounter that he had with God happened in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, King Uzziah was a king of Judah, and he reigned at Jerusalem. And that was the capital of Judah. And in 2 Chronicles, we find that at the beginning, Uzziah was considered a good king. It says that he did right with the sight of the Lord. But just a few verses later, we find this. When he became strong, he grew proud, and it was to his destruction. And he was false to the Lord God. So there was a turn in Uzziah from a good king who was doing right to one that did wrong by God. And so what Isaiah is doing is he's comparing this king, this earthly king who failed, to what he had just seen in the temple, because that's where he was. He was in the temple, and he had this encounter with God. So he's comparing this earthly king to the divine king. And he wants us to see that the two just don't match up. And the people were so much about having kings, they were really wrapped up into that. But Isaiah's trying to tell them, this king, the Lord God, is who we want to pay attention to. And so that's where we are when we get to this point. And Isaiah's telling us that the Lord was sitting on a throne when he had this encounter. And he was high and lofty. And it says his entire hem of his robe filled the temple. So God's entire presence filled the temple where Isaiah was. And then the seraphim were there. They were above him, and they had their wings. Two covered their faces. They covered their feet. They were flying. God's grandeur was complete and filled everything. But the thing we need to understand, or at least think about with this, think of the seraphim. They are heavenly beings. And these heavenly beings had to cover their faces in the presence of God because it was too much for them to absorb. That's part of what was going on here. Even the holy beings could not stand the greatness of God. And they were calling to each other, and they were singing, and they were praising. We sang the song this morning, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And then it tells us that the pivots of the thresholds, this is the temple, shook. The voices were that loud, and the house filled with smoke. The seraphs were announcing, "God is here among us." And Isaiah immediately understood. And he said, "Woe is me. I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Earlier in Isaiah, we find out about these people that Isaiah is living around. We find out that he's living in a sinful nation that is full of offspring that do evil, children who deal corruptly, and they've all forsaken the Lord. So this is the land that Isaiah is living in. And he is standing in the presence of God. When he realized what was going on, he immediately confessed. He confessed his sins, and then he was cleansed. That's what's happening when the seraphs took that coal from the altar and put it to his lips. And the seraph then said to him, "Your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." So as I was reading this passage, I started wondering, what would have been my response if I had been Isaiah? What if I had been in that temple? What if we, in this church where we are today, all of a sudden had this kind of encounter with God? What would our response be? I think we would recognize that that's God, because what was happening to Isaiah was pretty incredible. And I think, or I wonder, if we would feel as unworthy and insignificant as Isaiah did. I think I would. But I was just trying to imagine what would be my response. And as I was doing it, a song came to my head. Some of you might know it. It's been around for a while. It's called "I Can Only Imagine." You've heard it. There was actually a movie based on this particular song about the person who wrote it. And what was happening was this man was trying to imagine what it would be like when he was in the presence of God. Now he was thinking about after he dies, when he's standing in the presence of God, what would he do? What would his response be? And so he wrote the lyrics to this song. It said, "Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah, or will I be able to speak at all?" And he says, "I can only imagine." And we can only imagine what our response would be. Isaiah's response was, "Woe is me. I'm unclean, and I'm standing here in the presence of God." And so he immediately confessed. He wanted to be clean. He wanted to be worthy, at least as much as he could, to stand in the presence of God. And then when he was clean, he could answer God's call. Because that was the next thing that happened in this passage. God called. "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah's response was immediate. "Here I am. Send me." He was ready. He'd done everything he needed to do to go out for God. And I wonder, would our response be the same? Would we be so overwhelmed by God's glory that we immediately confess our sins and ask for forgiveness? I think we might. But will we be ready to answer God's call? Because you see, Isaiah had a true encounter with God, and that encounter changed him. And when you have that kind of encounter with God, it will change you. He couldn't leave that temple the same person he was when he went in. He had to change. He had to be different because he was so full of God's glory. He was busted at the seams wanting to go and tell people about God. And that's what he did. And God sent him. Sent him on a mission to go out. And so I wonder if we ever have these kind of encounters. We might not have the kind of encounter that Isaiah had. That was some encounter. But we can have encounters with God here where we are now. Do we come to worship expecting to have an encounter with God? I know sometimes for me, I just come and just checking it off my list. This is for me to do today. And then I leave and think, okay, I'm done with that. But Isaiah was doing what we do every Sunday. He's gathered in that temple. They were praising God. He then confessed. He prayed. He listened. And he responded. We could do that. But I think before we can do that, we have to see what's in our heart. Because if our heart's not prepared when we come here, then we'll just sit here, and I've done it, sit in the pew and just watch what's happening and then get up and leave when it's done, having not encountered God. But God is here. God is always with us. So if we change our hearts, then we can be ready to have that kind of encounter with God. And then what will we do? Think back to the lyrics of that song. If we really thought that God was in our presence, are we going to stand in awe? Are we going to fall to our knees? Are we going to lie prostrate on the floor? Because we're in God's presence. Are we going to realize that maybe we're not worthy of the things that God has done for us and be led to confess our sins? and then be able to be purified so that we are ready to answer God's call when that call comes. Because the call doesn't have to be as dramatic as Isaiah's, where God's wanting you to go out and be a prophet. It doesn't have to be where God's calling you to be a preacher. God might just be calling you to teach Sunday school, help with vacation Bible school, do something here to spread the word of God, because you're so full of God that you can't help it. But I do have to warn you that when you hitch your wagon to God, you never can be certain what the ride's going to be. Because I never dreamed that my ride would take me here and everywhere else I may go. But I hitched my wagon to God, and now I'm on that ride. But it's worth it. Whatever may come along, it's worth it. Because you get so full of God's glory that you can't help but tell other people about it and share that with others. If you're not quite ready, if you feel like your heart's not quite there, if you're wondering if you could really hitch your wagon to God, I challenge us all to pray about it and ask God to make our hearts soft, pliable, so that we could be in God's people and we could tell others about it. So that when God says, "Whom shall I send?" we'll say, "Here I am. Send me." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being in our presence and for calling us to follow you. Give us the strength and the wisdom to discern your call for our lives and to follow you wherever you lead. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.